following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. How you doing out there? Boy, what a day for me. Just a lot of busy stuff. You know how life is sometimes. Just kind of catches up to you, and you got so much to do. You're like, whoa, man, what am I going to do? So, hey, look, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Love to hear from you. If you're a newbie to the show, you're not sure what this is about, Christian apologetics, the defense and establishment of the Christian faith. So what we're trying to do here is answer questions, lots of questions, and I hope you want to call up and get some of the questions answered. If you have questions, that's what we want you to do. Questions about the Bible, evolution, UFOs, apostolic succession, Roman Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam. All kinds of stuff we talk about here. I've been doing that for a long, long time, so I hope you're going to enjoy that. All right. Now, I just want to give you a heads up that we're doing an end-of-year matching funds drive, So for the month of December, whatever you were to donate would be matched. So if you were to sign up for $50, it'll become $100. 50 is matched. If you already signed up for a recurring donation, it'll stay the same. But if you add anything to it, you up it a couple dollars or $5 or $10, whatever it is, then that what you up will be matched. And so we are trying to make ends meet, and yeah, the Lord provides. And the beginning of the year is always tough for us because we've got to pay all the missionaries, and we have to pay insurance and things like that. It's just how it works. And so we're looking to that. And if you have any questions or comments or anything that are difficult, please, all you got to do is contact us at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. That's what you got to do. And I hope you will do that so that we can blab and all kinds of stuff like that. So there you go. All right. Now, okay, what else? There's something else. I'm trying to think what it is. It's so obvious. I had a debate last night. I had a debate on limited atonement. And if you watched it and you want to make any comments, please call up. Feel free to give me a call and we can talk. I'd love to hear from you about that. I thought it went well. It was very polite. And the guy's a Christian. He just didn't agree with me on that view. And man, that's okay. You know, that's all right. So what I did was I did what I thought was biblical. And he did what he thought was biblical. It was cordial. It was very comfortable. And I hope that you, if you watched it, you enjoyed it. And please, give me a call if you want. And you know what's interesting is I've been watching, I kind of reviewed it a little bit and watched the text that people will text in. And I'm telling you, there are so many haters out there. They're just full of hatred and ignorance. And they're supposed to be Christians. And they're full of mockery and condemnation. And I want to tell you something. When I was I was talking to a seminary professor today about something. Let's see if I can find this. Love. Yes. And this is a verse that Jesus said. I'm going to go to it, Matthew 24:12 here. It's a verse that I thought was really interesting because what happened is that they asked him, when were the ends, you know, the signs of these, the end and things like that. And he gives a list of issues. And he says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Most people's love will grow cold. And I'm sitting here thinking about that. And I told my professor, my old professor, he's a great guy, and I said, you know, I used to think that was about unbelievers, and now I'm starting to think more and more it's about believers. And then he responded with something very interesting. He goes, you know, that he's got neighbors, and he's surprised to find out that sometimes his atheist neighbors will treat him better than his Christian brethren. And I know that one. And I know that it is the case. I know that Christians are getting you know, tough. And I told him, I said, maybe it's because of the work I do, and I get into the controversial topics, and a lot of Christians come out and just are full of hatred. In fact, after the show last night, after the debate, we did an after show, and some guys come in and they start telling me about how they don't sin anymore, one guy brought me to a verse, John 8:34, where Jesus says, "If you commit sin, you're the slave of sin." And he said, "See, you commit sin." I go, "Well, yeah, occasionally." He goes, "Look, you're the slave of sin then." And I'm like, wait. The Greek says here, it's a participial form. Those who were practicing and continuing in it. And he said, "I'm not interested in the Greek. I'm interested in what it actually says." The idiocy was just incredible. And the lack of love, the lack of compassion. These are for people who are supposed to follow Christ. Anyway, I'm just commenting. I think it's interesting. I think it's... It's really spectacularly interesting. In fact, this one guy got on and in the after show, and I was talking to him. He said that he doesn't sin anymore. And I said, "Do you keep the law on the level of Jesus?" He said, "Yes." Wow, you know. And then I was pressing him on something else, and I said, "So, you know, one thing led to another." And he actually said, "If I lie, it's not a sin." And I go, "What? So if you lie, if you actually commit, you lie, it's okay. It's not a sin." You go, "That's right. It's not a sin." Like, we're done. I just kick him out. So this is the kind of stuff that I had to deal with last night, and from these so-called Christians. But any rate, there you go. I wanted to just give you kind of a heads up. Hey, I want to hear from you. If you did watch the show or watch the debate last night, I am curious about your comments. So please give me a call if you want. I'd like that. All right. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And I forgot to mention that if you want to donate, all you got to do is go to karm.org/donate. And all the information you need is there. Remember, we're doing a matching your end of funds drive. And I got some more stuff to talk about, but we'll get to the caller. Let's get to Aaron from North Carolina. Aaron, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey. Thank you. I'm excited.
Well, good.
My question for you is, is it wrong for women to be deacons in the church?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Simple enough.
Okay. And let me show you why. Let me show you why.
What
the Bible says. Okay. I'm going to go to, let's see. Here we go. All right. Now, this is in 1 Timothy 3. So what I'm going to do is read what the Word of God says. And people are going to maybe be a little bit surprised by it, but I've got to read the whole thing here so you can see what's going on. And others who are responding say, "Wait a minute, that can't be true." But it is true. This is 1 Timothy 3:2. An overseer, that's a Greek word, episkopos, which we get the word bishop. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. The husband of one wife. That's what it says. And a woman can't be that. And it goes on, it says down in verse 8, it says, deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-minded or addicted to wine, etc. These men must first also be tested. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife. So that's verse 12 of Titus chapter, 1 Timothy 3. And so that's it. That's it. That's what it says.
Great.
Right,
thank
there.
You.
And because it says that, then, that's what we got.
So, I'm in a church. Women mm-hmm. are deacons. I'm not a deacon, but there are women who hold that position. Mm-hmm. If you were in that position, would you even be in a church that had women deacons?
No. Well, what I would do is I would go to the pastor and the elders. I'd say, look what it says here in 1 Timothy 3. And I'd say for the elders, I'd go to the elders first. What I would do is this. I'd set them up because I don't want them to react too quickly and then get their, get their dander up. But it says, let's see, yes. In Titus 1, verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete," this is Paul talking to Titus, "that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you, namely if a man is above reproach, the husband of one wife." Now that's aner in Greek, aner mias gunaikas, a husband, one wife, husband of one wife. And that's what it says. I'd ask them, so women can't be elders, right? And they'd say, that's correct. Good. Now I'd go back to Titus chapter 3. And I'd say, deacons must be husbands of one wife. And it says, andres mias gunaikas. It's a slight variation on the same word, aner, andres. So it says the same thing. So can women be deacons? Now you see what they say. And then if they were to say, well, we don't care about that. Okay. Well, here, watch me back out of the church. Watch. I'm dusting my feet as I back out of their church. I just want you to know, I'm leaving because you guys are not submitting to the Word of God, and I can't trust you.
Okay. Thank you. That clears that up. I do have a second question. Is there time for me to ask another?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is it wrong for a church to take a loan out with a bank to expand their building?
I can't say yes, I can't say no, because I don't know all the circumstances that a church might have. Let's just say, for example, the tornadoes in Nebraska, and the church was growing, and they want to reach out, and a bank comes and says, look, we'll offer you a loan at 1%, and we'll even help you out here so you can rebuild the church. Would that be a good thing? Maybe. The elders and need to get together and talk and see if the here's the thing. See if the people would have enough money to fund the rebuilding of the church while they're rebuilding their own homes. So you see, it's not so easy to say yes or no. We don't want to just have somebody, some church in the middle of some megalopolis and then say, hey, let's just add on another something. Let's buy that building over there and we'll gut it and make it a bigger church. Well, and the elders need to be involved and see what happens. Okay, so not so easy. I like the idea of not borrowing money, but seeing if it can be raised from within the church. I think that's the best way, normally speaking. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you. That helps tremendously. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right, three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Anthony from Kansas. Welcome, Anthony. You're on the air. What do you got?
How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there.
Yeah. Anyway, I had a question, and the context is I was listening to some progressive Christian speaker who'd written a book.
Okay.
I try to listen to some of these guys so I can critique what they're saying, But this particular individual said, kind of in the context of maybe liberation theology, but basically she said that there are parallels between how we treat the earth or the planet, the way we treat women, and the way we treat people of color. It's kind of in the mentioned things like extraction, control of black and brown bodies, exploiting and taking and not giving, that sort of thing. I wonder what your thoughts were on it.
I didn't quite understand the last thing you said, but this guy was talking about how we treat women, people of color, and the earth. And what was the last sentence you said?
Well, it just sounds like all wokeism to me.
Well, I don't know what he's saying, though. You can repeat what he's saying to know if it's wokeism. Hold on, we got a break, okay?
Oh,
we'll get right back.
I'm sorry.
So you can formulate a question.
That's all right.
Okay. That's all right. See, you can formulate a question a little bit better when we get back. All right, buddy? Hey, folks, one open line, 877-207-2276. We will be right back. Appreciate you.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. We have one open line if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get back on the air with Anthony. Okay, Anthony, let's continue.
Am I back on again?
Yes, you're back on the air. Uh-huh.
Okay, what I was saying was... she seemed to speak from that angle of liberation theology, red letter Christianity, that angle. So I know there's a certain worldview behind all that, but she was making parallels between our treatment of the environment, our treatment of women, and treatment of people of color.
How about, did she mention the treatment of white people?
No.
Oh, well, then she's prejudicial, and because there's prejudice against white people as well from people. So, you know, I guess that's, you know, she's just not interested in talking about how treatment should be from all perspectives. Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so, yeah, that's what she was saying. She seemed to say that white patriarchy, maleness seemed to be the problem.
Yeah, it's a bunch of crap. Yeah, I get so sick and tired of this. It's just one of the ways of destroying our culture and trying to destroy masculinity. The idea that masculinity is evil, bad, not to be trusted, and dangerous. The patriarchal system is a pejorative because men are the ones in charge. You can't trust men. It's an attack, and it's sickening. And so I'm going to just say this, that we Christian men need to act like Christian men. And there's different ways that can be manifested. But in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. How did Jesus act as a man? We men need to emulate him. And what he did was, he didn't put up with crud, and he spoke the truth. He treated all people equally. He treated them lovingly. The Pharisees are the ones who he rebuked for their false religious system teaching. And he taught and he forgave. And this is what we need to do. And this is something a lot of people don't know about, that he led. And he led by teaching and going. And he had followers who went after him. He was a leader. And men are supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to emulate Jesus. And so this is what we're called to do in the Christian church. It doesn't mean we pull women around on by her hair and make me sandwich woman. That's nothing like that. And Jesus also laid his life down for the bride. And we're to do that for our wives as well. And treat women honorably and with respect and honor. This needs to happen in the Christian church, and the idiocy that's going on in the world is an attack on masculinity, particularly the white culture, because it's the white males who largely built this country. That's not to say that the blacks and the Chinese and the whoever, whatever, all the others weren't involved with it. I'm not saying that. But it, you can understand that the great majority of the people were white, and they did a great deal of work in this country and got it where it is. Now, good, bad, and the ugly, it's all there. But the idea here is that white masculinity is now the thing to be attacked. And the patriarchy is going to be attacked along with Christianity, because Christianity teaches that Jesus was a male and that wives are to submit to their husbands, but that submission is not obedience. It means submission in a willing way, the way they would do that with the Lord, who is leading. And this is what's supposed to be. I'd love to teach a seminar on this. But nevertheless, that's what's going on. And that woman sounds like she's just full of woke idiocy. That's what it sounds like to me so far.
Yeah, I speak as an African American. I'm an African American. Okay. I'm frankly suspicious of anyone when they start talking that way, because even though have black people been oppressed in America? Yes. Mm-hmm. Have women been oppressed? Yes. Mm-hmm. Have we put poisons in the environment, destroyed many species like the passenger pigeon? Yes, but I think that's just kind of used. It's like these are being used to not destroy, turn people back to God, but turn people away from God.
Right. And they forget the great progress that we have made in this country, the incredible progress. You know, the blacks were treated so badly in the early part of the century, in the 1800s. They were, it's a fact. And but that's not the case anymore. Now, you know, there's so much difference that's occurred. We should rejoice in that. We should rejoice that women are even freer than they were before. We should rejoice in that. Who's the one who's pushing these things? You know, it's like saying, oh, all the white males are against all the rights for women and blacks and Asians and whatever, only themselves. This is what the implication is. And it's stupidity. It's idiocy. It's not the case. You know, and I live in Idaho, and there's like 2 or 3%. Well, we're 97% or something like that, white people here in Idaho.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I'll tell you this, the non-white-ish people, when we encounter them, we don't care. We don't care at all. All we care about is, what kind of person are you? That's what we're interested in. You know, are you conservative? Are you liberal? Are you Christian? Are you not? We don't care. We don't care what color you are. I mean, that's not our thing. You know, and it's like that all over the country. Just what kind of person are you? That's what we want to know, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. There's a little bit over a million people in Idaho, I know, and also a lot of potatoes. But one more quick question.
yeah, we have 2 million people.
Two million? Oh, okay.
Total, yeah.
2 million. Entire state, probably more potatoes, though. Anyway.
I got that right.
Another thing I'm suspicious of, that is so-called climate change. They're already saying that tornado they had in Kentucky was because of climate change, and I'm frankly, I get very suspicious and wary of people doing that, because I'm in Kansas. This past year, we have had hardly any sisters, you know, at all, and we're kind of famous for that out here.
You're right.
So let's just say I'm a climate change skeptic.
Yeah, I'm skeptical, too. But what's happening is, think about this. Climate change is being used along with the oppression of the whites in order to reconstruct our country and push socialism in to get control. And wokeness is assisting that, along with BLM. BLM is a horrible organization. I did research on them early on, and they teach stuff and promote stuff that is so incredibly ungodly.
Definitely, it's definitely Antichrist.
It is. You know, just like a white supremacy group. That's Antichrist. Come on, we don't believe in that stuff. There's extremes everywhere. Right. Just because you're black doesn't mean you can't be prejudicial. So that's the thing. Right. Everybody has problems. Everybody is the same. Sinners. And what do we hide behind or hide under in order to make ourselves feel better about who we are at the expense of others? Instead of standing up and doing what we're supposed to do with ourselves and be better citizens and help others. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But the enemy gets in and causes division and causes dissension and anger. And by doing that, the left can come in and sow more discord and gain more control. So they've opened the borders, let the illegals come in who are going to be voting socialistic. They let the evil come in with the drugs that's coming over. That's happening a lot. They, you know, our Biden, the branded administration, just basically equipped our enemy with billions of dollars in weaponry. Inflation, they're printing money like it's going out of style, ruining our economy and our ability to purchase. So what's happening? Disharmony, distrust is abounding, and this causes problems. And the left say, well, look at the solutions that they create.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
okay, buddy.
Well,
you gotta go.
Let's
break. All right, man. God bless. Hey, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everyone. All right, let's get to Bill from California. Bill, welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Oh, hey, Bill.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, watching last night's debate, I don't think Joshua Gibbs fully understands Calvinism, and he couldn't really answer the question on Colossians 2:14.
No, he couldn't. No.
Yeah.
No.
So I think his point he was trying to get across that the sin debt is by all 613 commandments was nailed to the cross, so we're no longer under that law. We're in the law of grace.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think that's what he's trying to get across.
Yeah, I thought there were some inconsistencies, and he thought there were inconsistencies with my position. But I thought it was cordial, and, you know, he's a pastor, so praise God, and we just disagree on this issue, and it was very nice. The after show was interesting. I got attacked again. I should send out posters of me with darts. So that people can, you know, just get it out of your system. That'd be nice, you know. Want a poster of Matt Slick you can throw darts at? That'd be good. Why not? You know. So yeah, that was a good debate last night.
I'll buy one. I'll buy one.
That's right. Throw darts.
Yeah, those two guys were.
What's that?
The preacher guy was absolutely clown. Another guy says, "Oh, lying's not a sin." Like, really?
Yeah. They were whacked.
I don't know what these guys come up with.
I've got a few people have sent me, three shirts, three different T-shirts, so much heresy, so little time. So they just, they get on these hobby horses, and then what they do is they believe one point, and they interpret all of everything else in light of that one thing. And this is what causes them to be so whacked. They don't have a holistic understanding of Scripture. And like that one guy, when he went took me to John 8:34, and where Jesus says, "If you commit sin, you're the slave of sin," and I told him in the Greek it's a participle, which means an ing, it's an ongoing action. That's what he's talking about, the participation and the abiding. And you're not a Christian; you're just in sin. You're sinning. He didn't want to hear it. That's not what it says. Yeah. If you commit a sin, you're a slave of sin. You ever sinned, Matt? Well, yeah, you're a slave of sin. It's like, dude, you're not listening. And I said, here's what the Greek says. I don't want to hear about the Greek. I just want to know what it says. I just said, your ignorance and your arrogance are just astounding. And because they were.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was great when he goes, "Do you know Greek?" And goes, "Yeah." And you had to parse that verb. He couldn't answer me.
I do that all the time with people. Okay, what's the verb "ame" mean? What is it? What's the word "agathos"? You can tell me. And what's a nominative and genitive distinction? What is it? But you learn this in the first couple of weeks if you've taken Greek. So it was pretty bad.
Now, he was arrogant, and he's biblically illiterate, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying he's illiterate, but biblically he was illiterate.
Yeah, he's almost an idolater. They have an idol that they bow to, that John 8:34, the way they interpret it, not the way it actually is. But yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, it was. But I thought it was a good debate. And the guy, though, the debater, he was great. He was polite.
John, he was a great guy.
Yeah, he was.
But he doesn't understand Calvinism. And I don't fully understand the need of it yet. I'm trying in the last couple of years of getting into it.
Yeah, there's more to it. People think it's just 5 points. It's not. There's a great deal more. It's a very, very, very deep theology. And some of the most spiritual people in the history of our country were in the Reform camp, as well as in Europe. And so, anyway, that's that. No big deal. But, all right, buddy.
And the best Bible teachers are Catholics.
The what? Best Bible teachers are what?
The best Bible teachers now are Calvinists.
I think so.
Don't you think?
I think you are so intelligent and obviously well learned when you say stuff like that. Oh yeah, it's so true.
Especially that Matt Slick guy.
That guy's an exception. He's got problems. Whoever that guy named Slick, you can't trust him. All right.
All right, Matt. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless.
God bless.
All right, that was Bill from California. Let's get to Tony from Charlotte, North Carolina, who's going to talk about women in the pulpit, which I would love to have talked about. Let's see, Ron from Ohio. Ron, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Just busy.
Okay, good. Can I tell you a really quick story? It's kind of a testimony, but it's really cool.
All right.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay.
Really fast.
I live in Ohio. About 3 years ago, I went to Ohio State. Well, God sent me to an Ohio State football game to pray with people, okay?
Okay.
So there was people on crutches, and God was having me doing healing prayers with these people. And I walk up to this gentleman, and I said, "Hey, would you like a free prayer?" He says, "No." He reaches out his hand to shake my hand. He says, "I'm going to give you one. I'm a pastor." And I'm like, wow, out of 90,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so keep this in mind. Now, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so he says, "Hey, wait a second, because we're about to part ways." He goes, "I just got back from Israel." He said, he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out these stones.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Here, you can have one." I'm like, "Well, thank you, thank God." And he says, "Wait a minute, I got something else in my pocket." And he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out a vial of water from the Jordan River.
Cool.
90,000 people. God sent me over there to pray with people, mm-hmm. okay? And out of 90,000 people, here I end up, God puts me with this guy. Come on, it had to be the only guy there at a 90,000 that had a vial of water from the Jordan River.
Well, praise God.
Right? Come on. Yeah. Praise God. Yes, it was a God moment for sure. So anyway, he proceeded to baptize me, through Jesus with this water from the Jordan River.
Oh, okay. He poured it on you?
Is that cool?
Yeah, it is.
He poured it in my hands, and I wiped it on my face after he said the prayer.
Okay.
And I felt like just, you know, even more weight came off of my shoulders, you know?
Oh, okay.
I just felt like so light I could have just floated right away, you know? Yeah. But isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is. You know, I've been to Israel too, and brought back some of the stones that did not cry out, and was in the Jordan a little bit and some other place. It's a wonderful place to go. It is absolutely awesome. Yeah,
we're probably not going to get there. I mean, you know, anything with God, anything's possible. But I'm probably not going to get there. I'm a Jew for Jesus. Okay. I was born in a Jewish family. Now I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a break coming up here in a minute or two. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Okay, so I went to this church with this lady. She said, hey, come to my church and check it out. When I was there, there was a lady that was given the message. And I'm like, okay, well, in the body of Christ, there's no man, woman, old, young, black, or white. We're all just one member of the body of Christ. So to me, that's okay if this woman's going to get up here and give a
wrong
and give a message. I would say there's really not much wrong with it. But the problem is
hold on a second. That is incorrect. What you did was you went to Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female. You're all one in Christ. Now there's no male or female, so it's okay for. Hold on, so it's okay for a woman to be a pastor? No, it's not. That verse in Galatians 3:28 is about salvation. It's not about being in the pulpit. And the issue of being in the pulpit is it's not for women; it's for men, and they need to step up and do their job.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, and then she changed the words. Now, do you believe, like I do, I don't know if you believe in this, but the Holy Spirit is a person, a man.
A man?
Wait.
So you're repeating what she was saying. Okay, I'm getting you now. Okay, so she said that the Holy Spirit is a man.
Well, what I'm saying is...
Yeah, you need to...
That's what I said. That's she called the Holy Spirit an it.
Okay, hold on. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a human being, but person in the theological sense, and not an it in the sense of non-personal, okay?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she called it an it. She said the Holy Spirit it, and I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. You just took the word, you changed the words of the Bible right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It says he in the Bible, in the King James Version, it refers to the Holy Spirit.
Well, you
can
understand, though.
And she called
understand.
It an it.
Hold on, we don't have much time. I've got to tell you this, okay? It's like Spanish.
Okay.
When you conjugate a verb, you have he, she, and it are all one form. We distinguish them in English. In Greek, it's the same thing. So you have to know. Yes, that's correct. And you have to know what it is by the context. And so the Holy Spirit will be in the the masculine form. And sometimes it's neuter.
Okay,
but there you go.
That was a really cool story, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. Praise God now.
All right. Talk to you later.
Hey, Ron.
God bless you.
You too. Hey, folks, two open lines. The last segment coming up. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Before we get on the next caller, I just want to remind you, we're doing an end-of-year fundraising drive, matching fundraising drive. So if you were to donate 10, it becomes another 10, and it becomes 20 automatically. And if you want to help out, the instructions and the information are all there on CARM, and all you got to do is go to CARM.org, CARM.org, /donate. We need we really depend on the end of the year thing because it helps us for the beginning of the year when we've got to pay out a lot of money for the missionaries and for insurance. That's just, you know, that's just life with ministry. All right, let's get to Amore from North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been listening to your, I'm driving my car and I listen to some of the Christian local radio here. I got to your show and I've been listening to you now for several months, maybe almost a year now.
Good.
Almost like that. And I really like it. I love it. And God bless you. Continue what you're doing. It reminds me of, I put on your screen a while ago, it reminds me of a guy I used to watch on YouTube a lot. He passed away. Zachariah.
Oh, yeah. Robbie Zachariah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. What do you think of him?
He was a very good communicator. Yeah, he was a very good communicator, and then he was found to have been in some pretty bad sin. So,
say it again.
Yeah, he was a good teacher, but he was found to be in some pretty bad sin after he passed away, we found out. But yeah, he was a good, very good communicator. All right, yeah.
I think he passed away. He got sick or something like that. I'm at work last night. I have my break, and I tried to YouTube sometime with your. I got to know your show, and I got to listen to other pastors. But that's another, you know, Stanley and Chuck Swindon and all those guys, you know. I originally from the Philippines, right? And I grew up Catholic, not anymore. And I got encountered with the guy that you debate. I think this is in maybe an oldish, not new YouTube you have, like. Catholic apologetic Mark on Colby or something. You remember
I've debated so many people that I can't recall who they all are. I'm keeping records now, but for the past couple of years. But I don't know. I've just debated a lot of people.
Mark on Colby is a Catholic apologetic, and you said I read a lot of your comments below. So when you said. He's talking about, and I listened to the whole thing, and you said, you kind of make a joke on him, like, why, you're going to go to hell then? You said, oh, that was good. But anyway, I just want to tell you, I have no question for you. I just want to say, continue what you're doing. I really love what you're doing, and God bless you, and I listen to you every day.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And God bless, okay? God bless. Yep.
Thank you, and continue what you're doing. Thank you very much. God bless you.
By God's grace, amen.
Thank you for taking my call.
Bye. Oh, sure. Okay. All right. Well, praise God. All right, let's get to Mark from Florida. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, barely. So what do you got, man?
So, interesting situation at my work there, and without saying certain things I could get, you know, flags or anything like that, but
right.
They're offering a opportunity for religious exemption for the Grandpa Joe's cough syrup,
For the
jab. Position,
mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. I'm taking the position that they don't really even need to have any right to know my religion nor my medical history, and
I would agree.
My question about that is, am I treading the line of being ashamed of my faith when I do that?
No.
Or could that be a perception of others when I say that?
Well, you can't control the perception of others. You need to do what you think is right before God first, and then try and be a good witness to others as well. So I've written a lot on COVID and some other things on the website, of course, and I've got some information there. But the religious exemption thing, I've got a letter for that. You can print it up. A lot of vaccines, let's just say, are developed using aborted fetal material. And we talked about this yesterday. Various things are. And I don't want to benefit from that. And so it's a religious thing, And I think that if that's your conviction, that you should, you know, let them know. And if it's a religious conviction, because if you're an atheist, you know, you can't do a religious conviction. You know, so I don't have a problem with them saying, well, if you have a religious need a religious exemption, that's okay. I would have no problem with that. And say, yeah, that's right, I'm a Christian, okay, and I have this, that, and I don't want to participate in this or that. And if they say, well, you're going to lose your job, you know, then you're going to face the issues, the consequences, and the whole bit. And this is what's happening in our totalitarian government that is becoming totalitarian. People don't know what totalitarianism is, right, but it's where the government is in complete and total control of everything. And what they do is they try and move us along towards submission in every way they can. This is what's happening now. And so masks are necessary when you have a pandemic, but when the pandemic is passed like it has, then you know, they continue to force you to wear them. That's a control marker. And controlling people and forcing them. You know, you can't have, can't buy, sell, or eat, or drink, or move until you have your passport papers, your papers, you know, Zikhail, just, this is the problem with it all, that is being used for control. I'm not against vaccines. I don't have any problem. I know people who've gotten the jab. Me? Okay. Well, I don't care. Doesn't bother me any. But,
well, yeah. Could the religious exemption itself be considered a control marker or be used as a control marker in and of itself?
It depends on how it's used. Out? It might be.
Right.
It might be. It's like the woke thing is being, I think, being used to get rid of people in the military so that the ones who are left over will do whatever they're told. And then they can turn on the population. That's what I'm worried about. So consenting, basically anything can be used as a control marker. Having dealt so much with occults for years, one of the marks of a person in a cult is the lack of critical thinking and the lack of the right to examine what the leadership says and to be heard in disagreement by that same leadership. And when this is how cults work. So Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, etc., you're supposed to submit to the leadership. They know more, they're in position. And if you question, then you're punished. And this is how it is. So in Christianity, if you're questioned, okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's answer it. Let's go through this. But in cults, they do this. They punish you for resisting the authority above them. If you say, I'm not so sure about this. And this is what's happening in our society. The people in control, the few that they are, who are usually millionaires and who are out of touch with the average Joe, are the ones who are trying to punish people who don't get jabbed. You know, and if you do your own thing,
I'm just wondering why that is, the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around why.
Because they want control. If they can cause you to fear, then you'll do what they want.
Right.
That's what it is. It's an issue of fear and control. Fear is what they use to control. So what does the news media do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, this Omicron, and they skipped Xi, the letter Xi in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, I believe, because the Chinese leader's name is Xi. And so there's a very quick similarity there. So they are appeasing the Chinese, which is... It is so bad. It just enrages me. I can't even say what. Okay. So they go to Omicron, which apparently is pretty benign. But no, now we're going to have new lockdowns. It's more control. The more people get used to control, the more they will become controlled. And then they will just say, yes, I'll give up my weapons. Yes, I'll give up my rights. Yes, I'll give up everything. And then when the state gets in control, it will then confiscate all private property for the betterment of everybody else to get rid of white supremacy and inequality. Because you've got to have equity for everybody, and the state will tell you what is equitable. And that's Venezuela. That's what happened to Venezuela.
Does that include religious freedom?
Religious freedom is almost always suppressed in a socialistic totalitarian regime. And so,
this is what they're trying to do.
Absolutely. This is why the Christians need to be very aware of what's going on, and the pastors need to be speaking about this from the pulpit. They need to be aware of it. They need to be addressing this, and we need to resist socialism. Socialism is not biblical, and I could teach and preach on what is biblical. And there are biblical things there, and so anyway, biblical models, and it's capitalism, believe it or not, but not, you know, raping and pillaging the land. You know, it is
right.
It the idea within that is to care for others. There's the gleaning thing in the Old Testament. There's considering others to be you love them and things like that. And so that's supposed to happen. When people are not Christians, what happens is they have benefited from the foundation laid by so many Christians within our history that were woven into the Constitution and Bill of Rights, which were derived out of scriptures from the Puritans. People don't know this. The history, they don't tell you this anymore. They don't want people to know this. And so they get rid of that, but they're building on the foundation that was laid by biblical principles, by the founding fathers of our country. And then they're kicking them out, and they don't want anything to do with it, and they want to remake everything according to what they want. It was not socialism that made America great. It was not socialism. Mm-hmm. It was capitalism, with its problems, because people are sinners. It's not a social system that makes something right. And that's another thing about social stuff, is it removes individuality, and you have to be part of the group, and it causes groupthink. And if you don't step in line with groupthink, then you're punished publicly to stop others from stepping out of line. This is what's happening.
Wow. It's kind of frightening in a way, but I appreciate you helping me with that answer.
It's frightening.
I'm going to do some before I go, I heard last week that just off the topic that you were struggling or having issues with pre-diabetes.
Yeah. And no, I'm diabetic.
I just
want to
maybe offer.
Out, yeah.
Oh, are you?
I got to go in Friday, I'm 6.7 A1C or something like that. It's very low. And I could probably fix it with diet and some other stuff, but you know, yeah, getting older. I just turned 65 too.
I just went through this situation actually just recently.
Okay.
And while still listening to your show, and I was in the same situation. I was having symptoms, and I searched.
Mark, you got to call back tomorrow. We're out of time. Sorry, buddy.
Okay.
Call back tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.
All right. No problem.
All right.
No problem.
Sorry,
but
I want to hear. Okay. All right. And Curtis from Delaware, my apologies. Nelson from Bakersfield, my apologies. And Braden from Idaho, I know who you are. Tough luck. And hey, folks, we'll be back on here tomorrow. By God's grace, we'll talk to you then. See you. Have a good one, everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.